Well, it's a great privilege to be here today. I bring you greetings from Killymurris up in the northern end of Ballymena Presbytery. If you go to Logan's Fashions, that's the end of Killymurris and the end of Ballymena Presbytery before you go to Root Presbytery. It's good to be sharing in the services like this to get to know different congregations. Clock, Risharkin and Killymurris all have three new ministers in them, and Clockwater's vacant, waiting for a new minister as well. We've got a new minister installed into Bucknagh on Friday night. So it's good changes within our presbytery, and the Lord is with us. And we're going to turn to God's Word just now, to John's Gospel. So in your Bibles, if you turn to John chapter 10. John 10. And we're going to read verses 1 to 16. And this is the word of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And we thank God today for the public reading of his word. Well, lambing season is upon us. And for most of us here, it will not affect you in the slightest. But for shepherds, it's an exceptionally busy time of the year. Getting up every night, checking every few hours on the sheep as they lamb. I remember when I was growing up, one time I forgot to go out. The alarm clock went off, but I hit the snooze button, lay on, and went out. And there were four sheep that had lambed, and they were all claiming one lamb. They were all fighting over one lamb, and there were lots of little lambs about. And so I had to start and sort out that mess, all because they didn't get up during the night. At this time of year, shepherds are busy. There are lots of references to sheep and shepherds in the Bible. The famous one we sang, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The shepherds were the first to hear of the good news that a Savior had been born in Bethlehem. That news was given to the shepherds. And then here in John 10, this famous passage, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And today I want us to consider the background to John 10. You may know that verse, I am the good shepherd. But what was the background to it? Well, the background to John 10 is John 9. And in John 9, we read the account, and I encourage you to read it today when you go home. Read John 9 and 10 together. They go together. In John 9, Jesus heals a man who was blind. He was blind since birth. And Jesus, do you remember the story? He spits in the ground, makes a bit of mud, puts it on the man's eyes, and then tells that blind man to go to the pool of Siloam and to wash. And when the man washes his eyes, he comes back and he's able to see. The blind man who was blind since birth is now able to see. He once was in darkness, but now he's in the light. The blind could see. This was the sixth miracle in John's gospel. In John's gospel, there are seven miracles, seven signs. Here's the sixth one. Jesus is able to open up the eyes of the blind. The man who was healed was brought to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders of the day. They were meant to be the shepherds of Israel. They were meant to be the shepherds of Israel. And they bring this blind man to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are not happy. First of all, they don't believe that there was a miracle. And so they question the man twice. They question his parents. And they're not convinced. They won't believe the evidence that is in front of them. They didn't care about the man. They didn't care about that blind man. The Pharisees were more interested in their man-made laws about the Sabbath. They thought because Jesus spat on the ground and made mud, he was working. He was breaking the Sabbath. That's all they were interested in. They didn't care about the blind man. They were meant to be the shepherds of Israel. The Pharisees were the ones who had the law of God. They were meant to be able to see, but in fact, they were the ones who were spiritually blind. They couldn't see that Jesus, the man in front of them, was the Son of God. They couldn't see that Jesus was the Word made flesh. They were blinded by their sin. And so Jesus here is speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to them about who he is. And today I want us to focus on who Jesus is. 3 points. Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd who is the door for his sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And the one point of application is this. His sheep hear his voice and follow him. Well, Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. A few years ago, I was in Moldova. And in Moldova, they had no fences in their fields, which is really unusual because over here, we're used to lots of little small fields with fences and hedges. They didn't have any of that. Instead, somebody from their village would go out and collect the cows in the morning and bring them out to some grassland and just sit with them all day. Somebody else from the village would go out and milk the cows during the day, and then at night time they'd all come back in for the evening. And that's a wee bit what it's like in the opening picture here in John 10. Imagine a village. Imagine a sheepfold within it. During the day the shepherds would be out with their sheep, and at night time they would bring them back into the sheepfold, and they would put the gatekeeper in charge. And the shepherds would get their rest. But then in the morning time, the shepherd comes to get his sheep. He calls them. Hoosh, hoosh, hoosh. Whatever way he calls them. He calls them out. And they go, the shepherds go in their different directions to different grasslands. The gatekeeper knows the shepherd. And so he says, come on and get your sheep. And the sheep follow him. Here Jesus is confronting the Pharisees. Because the religious leaders were like the thieves and robbers. They didn't go to the gatekeeper. They climb up some other way. And what's their motive in climbing up the walls of the sheepfold? They want to kill, they want to steal, and they want to destroy. They didn't care about the sheep. The ones who were meant to be the shepherds of Israel didn't care about the sheep. But Jesus cared. He cared enough for that blind man. In John 9, it says that the Pharisees threw that blind man out of the synagogue. They wanted nothing to do with him. But Jesus is the good shepherd. And he's able to go to the gatekeeper. They know him as the shepherd. And he cares about his sheep so much that he says, he calls them by name. He calls them by name. He knows our names. Do you remember back in John 1, Jesus called a man called Nathanael? And he calls Nathanael by name. And Nathanael says, how do you know my name? Jesus knows our names. He knows his sheep. He cares about us. He knows our names. He leads them out and he goes before them. He goes in front of them. He leads them out. He doesn't drive them. Western shepherds, we're used to driving our sheep. Sending the sheepdogs in, driving the sheep out. But over in the Middle East, the shepherd leads the sheep. Always calls them, leads them out. He doesn't have to drive them out. There's a story told of a tour party going through Israel. And the guide had told them about the shepherds leading their sheep. But then he came across this man driving the sheep. And somebody in the group said, I thought you said the shepherds lead their sheep. Here's a man driving the sheep. And the guide said, he's not the shepherd. He's the butcher. The butcher drives. The shepherd leads. Jesus is the good shepherd who leads us. He calls us by name to follow him. And he brings them out to new pastures. Today you need to know that first point. Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. Does Jesus care about you? Does Jesus know about you? Oh yes, he cares. He cares about you. The devil wants you to think, Jesus doesn't, he's not interested in you and your wee family. He doesn't care about you. That's the devil lying to you. Here's the good news today. Jesus cares. He cares for you. He knows you by name. He called you today to follow you, to follow him. And he goes before us. Isn't it good when somebody takes the lead? Jesus takes the lead. He directs us. He guides us. But surprise, surprise, the Pharisees haven't got a clue what Jesus is speaking about. Maybe you're here today and you're in a similar situation. Jesus and the shepherd and he cares for us. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. And so Jesus comes in from a different angle. So he gives them a different picture. In verse 7 he says, I am the door of the sheep. So imagine you're away out of the village now and the shepherd has taken his sheep to some faraway pastures. He's not going to go back to the village every night. Instead, he's going to stay with his sheep at night and he's going to make them a little sheepfold out far away. There's no gatekeeper out there. Instead, the shepherd stands in the doorway. He lies down in the doorway and he takes his rest. And no sheep can go in or out without him knowing about it. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the good shepherd who is the door of his sheep. There's only one entry into those sheepfolds. Jesus is the only door, the only way. He says, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus has the power and authority to save. If we enter by him, if we enter by Christ, we shall be saved. Jesus has the power and authority of who should be saved. In John 6, Jesus said, all that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Here was a blind man who came to the Pharisees and they chucked him out of the synagogue. They didn't care about him. Jesus is saying, if you come to me, I will never cast you out. I will never say no entry. You're not allowed. If you come to me by faith, if you follow me, I will never cast you out. He will never turn us away. He is the good shepherd who is the door of the sheep. At the end of John chapter 9, the Pharisees have chucked the blind man out of the synagogue. Jesus finds the blind man and he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the blind man says, who is he? Jesus says, you're speaking to him, you've seen him. And he said, the blind man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped Jesus. Here a blind man was not only receiving his physical sight, he got spiritual sight, he was saved. Jesus is the good shepherd who is the door of his sheep. I wonder, can you say that today? Can you say, I once was blind, but now I can see? That's what the blind man could say in John 9. He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but all I know is this. I once was blind, but now I see. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the door of the sheep. Have you entered by that door? Are you saved? If you're not saved, you're lost. If you're lost, you are in grave danger. The Pharisees couldn't see the importance of Jesus. They couldn't get it. They were blinded by their sin. There's a story told, it's a true story of a man whose son had died during the war. This man loved art, and he was a great collector of famous artworks, very expensive artworks. But the one that he treasured most was a portrait of his son, who had died during the war. He had commissioned this painting of his son, and that painting took pride of place above his mantelpiece in his home. The old man died, and there was an auction to sell off his possessions. The auction started, and the first lot was the picture of his son. A lot of people had gathered in for this famous art sale, and they were waiting for more expensive works of art. Nobody was really interested in the man's personal picture of his son. But one man started to bid. He was the gardener that had worked in the big house. And the gardener knew how much the father had loved his son and loved that picture of his son. And so the gardener bid. His was only bid, and the picture was sold. And as the auctioneer said, going, going, gone, he then said, that's the auction over. And the people who had traveled miles to buy those famous paintings were wondering, what are you talking about? We've just started. And the auctioneer said, there was a stipulation in the man's will. In the will it said, whoever gets the son gets everything. Whoever gets the son, if you bought that picture of the son, you've got everything. You've got everything in the house. That's what it's like with the gospel. If you've got Christ, you've got everything. The Pharisees rejected Christ. They couldn't see the importance of Christ. And still today, there could be people here. You come to church, you stand up to sing, sit down to pray, and you've missed it. You don't see how important Christ is. To many of you, he could be an irrelevance. Who cares? Who cares about Jesus? Jesus said, I am the door. If you enter by me, you shall be saved. You'll be safe and secure if you're trusting in me. In Ballymena, there are lots of street lights at night time. Out in the country, it gets darker. But you imagine out in those Judean hills, the sheep that were not in the sheepfold at night, they were in grave danger. The wolves will attack. They would kill them. They would die. They will perish if they're not safe and secure in that sheepfold. Jesus said in John 8, if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe in Christ, you will die in your sins. You are in grave danger. Outside of Christ, you are lost and you will perish. You are in grave danger if you haven't went by that door, which is Christ. But the Pharisees are so blinded by their sin that they can't see the danger they're in. Is that you today? Blinded by your sin, you think, I've lots of time. I'll be grand. It'll be all right. We're all going to heaven anyway. Not what the Bible teaches. If you don't believe in Christ, if you haven't went in by the door, you will perish. But Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for his sheep and who is the door of the sheep. And Jesus is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He loves them so much that he lays down his life for the sheep. Sometimes people wonder, does God really love me? Does he really care about me? If you ever doubt that, just look to the cross. How much does Jesus love you? This much. His hands that were nailed to the cross. He laid down his life for you so that you could live. Jesus knows all about your troubles and he cares because you belong to him. He has bought you with a price. He has redeemed you. It says here, the hired hand, somebody who's just hired in to sit with the sheep during the day so that the shepherd could do other things. The hired hand, when he sees the wolf coming, he's out of there. Why? Because he doesn't care about the sheep. He's just getting his money. But the shepherd, he runs into danger. He defends his sheep. He protects his sheep because he cares for his sheep. Jesus cared enough for us that he laid down his life for us. But you think about that. You've got a flock of sheep. The shepherd lays down his life, dies for the sheep. If you strike the shepherd, the sheep are going to scatter. They're going to be in trouble if there's no shepherd. But the glorious good news is this. On the first day of the week, Jesus not only laid down his life for us, he rose again. He lives, risen from the dead. And what is Jesus doing now? He's the great shepherd of the sheep, and he's still shepherding us even here today. He's still calling us to follow him. Jesus said in John 10 and 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is talking about taking the gospel not just to Jewish people, not just to the people in Israel, but across the world. He's other sheep that are not of this flock. He'll bring them also, and there'll be one flock and one shepherd. Isn't this the good news today? He still has other sheep. Maybe you're one of them and you haven't followed him yet. He calls you today, turn away from your sins and follow him. Out of all our churches and denominations, guess what? There's only one flock. We're one in Christ Jesus. And there's only one shepherd. Well, after all this teaching, you would think, well, they're bound to have got it. The Pharisees are bound to have seen the beauty of the shepherd, somebody who cares for them, somebody who is the door, somebody who lays down their life for them. Surely the Pharisees are going to trust in Jesus. Well, our reading goes on and says there was a division among them. Some believed, but many didn't. Some think he's a demon. After all this teaching, they think he's demonic. Some of them think he's insane. He's mad. Isn't that the spirit of our age today? There are many people in Ballymena today, and they think what we're doing, talking about Jesus, They think it's demonic. Because demons lie. They said, it's all made up. Don't be listening to that. It's all made up. They're falling into the same trap as the Pharisees. Blinded by their sin, they think it's all lies. Some people think we're mad. What are you doing? Wasting your time on a Sunday morning. Forget about it. They think it's insane. Blinded by their sin. The Pharisees had all this evidence before them. A blind man, blind from birth, was there. Jesus had worked this famous miracle and they still couldn't see that Jesus was the anointed one. Well, here's the point of application. After these 3 points telling us about who Jesus is, the one who cares, the one who is the door, the one who lays down his life, the point of application is this. His sheep hear his voice. John 10 and 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's the application. Do you hear his voice today? Do you hear him speaking to you from his word through his ordained means of communicating to you today? Do you hear his voice that he is the good shepherd? Jesus says to the Pharisees in verse 26, the reason you don't believe is because you're not my sheep. Maybe you're here today and the reason you don't believe, this sermon just goes over your heads like every other sermon. Because you don't believe, because you're not his sheep. How do you know if you're one of his sheep? How do you know? Jesus tells us, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you hear God speaking to you today through his word? If you hear that voice, don't harden your heart, but respond, follow. There may come a time when you'll not hear that voice. Because you've hardened your heart so much. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. That's why this is still the great commission of the church today. I can preach the gospel here in Wellington, in Pomeroy, in Killiemurris, in the Shankill, wherever. Because we have the assurance. His sheep hear his voice and they'll follow him. Some people, it might take 80 years. There's a man in our congregation last year. 80 years he'd been going to church morning and evening. And there, after 80 years, he finally heard. His ears picked up. And he says, I need to get this sorted. I want to trust in Christ. 80 years. How long have you been coming here? How long have you heard about Jesus and still you're not following? Oh, make sure you follow him, his sheep. Hear his voice and follow him. And notice the assurance as we close. He gives them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch us out of his hand. That's great assurance for believers today. You're one of his. He cares about you. He knows you. He loves you. And you will never perish. That's the great security that we have in Christ. In 2018, I don't know. And you don't know what's going to happen. You may have great joys in your life. If you're in Christ, you'll never perish. You may have happy times, but you'll never perish. You may go through dark and difficult valleys, but if you're in Christ, you will never perish. You might die in 2018. I might die in 2018. But if I'm in Christ, if I'm one of his, I'll never perish. I'll die, but I'll never perish. This is the good news, the gospel. We can go forward in the face of trials, knowing that our shepherd goes before us. Because we can say from the depths of our hearts, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, two men were tasked with reading Psalm 23, again a true story. The first man read it beautifully, Psalm 23, with great diction and color. The crowd clapped him. "Well done, that was a great rendition of Psalm 23. And then an older man stood up, and he was reading Psalm 23 from memory, and he forgot a couple of words, and he stuttered over it, and there was even tears in his eyes. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Both men sat down. And then the first man stood up and he says this: "I know Psalm 23, but that man, the older man, he knows the shepherd. I know the psalm, he knows the shepherd." You might know Psalm 23 really well, but do you know the shepherd? Make sure you're following and trusting in him today. John's gospel ends with these words: "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Let us pray. Gracious God, we do thank you and praise you for your word to us. Lord God, preachers may come and go, and people in the pews may come and go, but we thank you that your word endures forever. We thank you that your promises are true and faithful. And we thank you that you're still building up your church. We thank you you still have other sheep that are not of this fold. You'll still bring them in so that there'll be one flock and one shepherd. God, we thank you that Jesus is that good shepherd. Lord God, help us to hear his voice today and to follow him. Lord God, we pray for those still blinded by sin. God, we pray that you'll open their eyes. We pray that you will warn them of the judgment to come, that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And outside of Christ they are in grave danger. They will perish. Dear God, we pray as you warn them, Lord, that they will be drawn to Christ. They will hear his voice and follow him. Lord God, thank you for your faithfulness and goodness and mercy to us even this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we close,